Once again, I want to ask for communication, please.
Correct. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to meet and discuss the business of our airport. We thank you for the blessing of having this fine facility and the wisdom of all representatives. Give us your wisdom, guide and direct us in this matter. In name we pray.
And I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, moving forward on the agenda, the roll call.
Terry Crawford, here. Andy Snyder. Andy Lazar.
Here.
Chuck Savage.
Here.
Gary Walden.
Here.
Matt Fromm.
Thank you. Minutes have been distributed by email from the team on December 8th. Like to have any additions or additions or comments. Having on a
motion to approve.
Second.
Next and second. Further discussion, all in favor?
Aye.
The first order is unfinished business from the airport terminal building that day. Correct?
Okay. Couple things to talk about. Gulfstream Airlines changed their name recently to Silver Airways, I believe it is. You may have seen an announcement in the newspaper. They are moving to Gainesville, occupying the old Eclipse hangar that they had vacant up there. Real good thing for Gainesville. During the whole vetting process, it was between Ocala and Gainesville. Ocala, City of, and Marion County, working with the local Economic Development Corporation, made a pitch to Gulfstream Airlines, to come up here, occupy the terminal, and move their entire maintenance operation up here as well. They flew Beech 1900s. They recently upgraded to the Saab A340s. And by bringing their maintenance up here, they would cycle those airplanes throughout their route structure, and we'd end up being included in the route structure. Destinations wouldn't have been resolved at that time, but we're making a pretty good offer to them, but it wasn't good enough, and they went up to Gainesville. So one of the reasons we were in a holding pattern on our terminal was waiting to see the outcome of this Gulfstream airline project. Now we've got Ocala Jet Center in the mix, and we still have some time before we pull the trigger on the FDOT grants on the terminal. One of the things that City Council is going to have to consider, if we go forward with Ocala Jet Center, do we still go forward and build a terminal building? It doesn't really make sense to have three front doors on the airport. A GA terminal building built and operated by the city, Ocala Jet Center as an FBO, and then Landmark Aviation as an FBO. You end up with three front doors, and that's not what the City Council wants to see. So we're going to hold off on the terminal until we vet this project out, and we have until about, let's say, middle of May before we have to make a firm decision on the terminal and execute some of those grant documents through the state. So we've got a little bit of time to play with. Any questions on the terminal?
That's not an uncommon situation to have 2, 3, and 4 windows.
Mm-hmm.
And, a lot of times it ends up in bird's lap. Where are you going to go? Where do you want to go? Which one do you want to stop at?
The terminal, though, will have to be included in the final discussion with Ocala Jet Center, and see how that meshes into the whole future plan of the airport.
The terminal building to me is, it's something we're working with. We do not yet, I mean, we don't want to pass some critical time, but Jimmy's doing that because of all this, and then they decided to go forward with what they're doing. And so we can't stop based on that. We're 6 years in the cycle toward rebuilding the FPOs. And the terminal's a part of that. Terminal this side of the airport is much more valuable than terminal that side of the airport. If I'm an average businessman coming in to the airport, I'm going to want to get on the street here and go somewhere. The horse farm people come here, they go across the street. The restaurant you were talking about, you know, the color of that would be kind of out in the woods on the other side of the airport. Mm-hmm. I think eventually, and probably not in my lifetime, but you'll see a bunch of infrastructure and things happening on that side of the airport. For the next 10 or 15 or 20 years, I think 80th Avenue with where it hooks in north and south and all of that, it's kind of our main street. So this property, this side of the airport, developmentally more desirable. And I would think if FPO was on this side of the Charles Street versus the other side of the street, it'd have a competitive advantage. So we don't want to negate that, but our general aviation terminal for businesses and people who come in on the other side of the terminal. We're on the other side of the complex. That's my point. So I think we should not, we probably should not slow up on the process waiting for something to land out and happen. If they're two separate, distinct issues, and I don't really see any reason we should be stopping and waiting. I don't know if that works. That's not a month, I'm okay, but that's just, if you want to input, that's mine. Anybody else? Okay.
We do have a little bit of time, though. So in the next step in the terminal process is a design grant. That's what we're facing right now is the deadline on that design grant. About $260,000 design grant. And it runs on FDOT fiscal years. So FDOT's fiscal year, actually the new year, starts July 1. We don't want to carry over our current funds that are available now into that next fiscal year. We may lose it. I'd say we have probably about a month and a half before we have to send a letter to FDOT. It's not a lot of time, but it's a little bit of time.
Terrific.
All right. Moving on to minimum standards. We had the council workshop on January 24th, presented staff's recommendations on the minimum standards, amending them. Council directed staff to amend the standards in line with the 2012 goals and objectives. I hadn't seen the goals and objectives until the day after the council meeting, so I wasn't quite sure what that meant. These are their goals and objectives for 2012. Fiscal sustainability, innovation, economic development, quality of place on the goals, objectives. They want to increase the customer base, promote job growth and creation. They want to make regulation more user-friendly. Enhance and maintain infrastructure, reduce crime, remove barriers to inclusion. What that means is State Road 40 or 441 is a barrier to, I guess, inclusion of society, if you want to put it like that. But they want to make those a little bit more user friendly, where people can cross one from the other instead of making a hard boundary. That's their meaning behind that. Focus on major corridors, support learning, promotion of Ocala at the airport, business corridors, a website, etc. So that's what they meant by that. We will continue to look at how we can refine the minimum standards to meet those. I think the package that's presented in front of you now is a good first attempt at that. What I've done, I've taken our existing standards, and I've taken the proposed standards, and you'll be able to open up side by side. The tabs are color-coded to the sections of each one. Some of them are color-coded, some of them actually have numbers. We ran out of tabs, but we're on a budget. So you'll be able to see the exact difference between the two. There are some significant differences. I'm not looking for an approval today. What I'd like you to do is take those home. We'll set up a special meeting in a couple weeks, open it up for discussion, and take your thoughts at that time. Some of the big changes that you'll see, when you look at the FBO requirements on our current standards, in staff's opinion, we're all the way on the far right based on what's required, all the different levels of service. What we are proposing is to put us somewhere in the middle, where you can see we're looking at if you want to operate an FBO, you need to provide maintenance and at least one of the following items down here. It matches Gainesville and it brings us more in line towards the center. I'll tell you, I had a council person ask, well, why wouldn't we want to go to the far left? And I didn't have a good answer, other than it depends on how radical we want to change the standards. I chose a more middle of the road change, but I'll leave that up for discussion. The other change, when you look at the requirements of the specific services that are being provided, under the current requirements, we need a total of 8 acres for an FBO. That includes 5 for the fueling portion, 1.6 for maintenance, 20,000 square feet for avionics, and 1 acre for aircraft rental flight training. And then you've broken it up further into separate building and ramp and hangar requirements down the way. What I've done to simplify it is to say, if you're going to pump fuel on a retail basis, you need 8 acres. And for all the other services, you need 2 acres each. These aren't cumulative. If you're going to be an FBO, you need a total of 8 acres, of which all of your core functions and the maintenance plus one other service are included. You need a building. You need ramp space to adequately provide space for the aircraft that you're working on, and a 10,000 square foot hangar. For all the other specialized aviation services, you need 2 acres. That would include your vehicle parking lot, your building footprint, your apron, stormwater, all of that. Of course, you'll need a building, if it's applicable, ramp space, and a hangar, 3,600 square feet. That's a 60 by 60 hangar. Rather than getting into specifics and minimums, we're gonna let the proposed operation make that call, as long as it's sufficient enough for their operation. Again, take a look at those. We'll set up a meeting. 2 weeks from today is February 9th. 6th.
Well, first of all, is there a calendar? You need to check calendars to make sure that we check the meeting up, everybody's available.
Sure. I mean, we'd like to make it 2 weeks from today.
Thereabouts,
yeah, if you can make it. Of course, we're going to be flexible for the sake of throwing the date out there in the effort to move it forward. Well, we don't have to establish a date now, but keep that in mind. We want to do something in the next couple of weeks, and I'll have Haiti coordinate it and get your calendars out.
The ninth?
I believe so. Thursday the 9th.
I'll be in Germany at a trade show the 9th, so I don't know.
Okay. Well, I'll have Haiti work with your calendars, and we can establish it, and we'll post it.
That's my challenge.
I mean, if it's 3 weeks out, that's fine, too.
Sure. is there any standing, are there any comments you want to make these time? We've got a board of awesome, and all part of it. And I'll make some of that. The last meeting, we did the best to throw this on, but we won't modify the standards. This one conversation I've had this week with the councilman, they don't really have an understanding of the standards, they were presented by you without benefit of getting the approval process. So, I mean, they're hearing what you're saying, but they're not hearing what we're saying. So you, in the process of what you're suggesting, you're kind of circumventing the role of the airport. And I don't think we're, you know, I personally do not think it's helpful. So we gotta look at it, everybody's gotta understand part and parcel, what the standards are meant to do, how they're written, how they are now, where they came from, and the whole deal, and they don't, I can assure you. That's just, because all that, there was a lot of thought went on at that meeting, you know. That was a very old project, on your thing, it was just a very little, minimal amount of time spent on discussion or part of it. And they're relying on you to do that, we sent the message last time, we were totally opposed to modifying the standard, but yet you reported with it, so just understand that, we at least me, my present board, we take exception, so you know.
Well, I understand that, and we did sit down with the city manager's office and discussed where does it go now. Bringing it.
The staff filed the report, actually, the councilman, the ones that make the decision,
yep.
Not staff. And we're here, one of the some purposes of the airport board is to act as a go-between to the council, to advise the council on things that they don't have federal expertise, and act as a safety net, I think, to prevent misinformation. So that's what we're here to do, and to the best of my ability, I don't have any interest in the work. I keep a airplane to hang down here. I do that, and I hopefully get it to end. But I'm not gonna be easy to live with on this. It's pretty good where I'm coming. About the other members, they have to do that, but when we look at it, I really say, and there's nothing that's changed since last time, our standards are not that restrictive. The amount of money they're talking about going to the facility, and we're kind of in between here, the facility. The presentation that the Stivell 11 and Bill Halpin made to the city council, really should have come here first. So we can understand it a little better and ask the question to be better prepared. That's what kind of in the scheme of things like works. They don't normally go to the city council first. So I don't mind that happening, but somewhere in the process we need to know exactly what they're planning to build, exactly, you know, we got one little piece of paper with the drawing on each side. We need a lot more detailed plans in terms of what they're coming with before we can write that up and put to the city council, and that's our job. So I would have, you know, I would expect to request in the future, perhaps that not happen, but I don't think it's a very good idea. But, you know, we need to look at it. So we need to look to build up a, you know, very nice multi-stage operation. You know, what's the first stage? I mean, how long are we going to be before artificial Cosmo Hall, something like that? When are we going to build a Cosmo Hall? When's it going to be out that I can go walk around? That's the question with that. And those kind of things. But it is natural functioning things, and they're part of the process, but we're being a little bit rushed on this. We got to follow the standards. It's like we're in a rush to follow the standards for one group that wants to do something. And that's not just not the best interest of the city. Perhaps we not in the best interest of the city. And that's what we're doing. If anybody else wants to speak.
Well, if, Terry, it went before the council with the city manager's blessing. He thought it was important enough to put it in front of the city council, but it was the minimum standards as the main topic. What Ocala Jet Center was doing there was acting as an example of what would happen if they came in and standards stay the same. We're going to duplicate services, or worst case scenario, they're going to take Landmark's services and put them over there, and then Landmark would be in jeopardy. So one half dozen or the other, the bottom line is, it was a minimum standards presentation, not an Ocala Jet Center presentation at City Council.
You can get it any way you want, but it was the city manager, the city staff, not have the ultimate right in their process in our system. Looking back at the last ordinance we worked on 2 years ago, look at the amendment of the ordinance and read carefully, that essentially, our purpose wasn't as well defined in the past as it was from that year in, you know, 18. Okay, so we did the ordinance. The new ordinance, much better spelled out what 6.4 wants us to do. And that ordinance, if fairly spelled out, then we're not done. And that's how it is. And we spent almost a year, a lot of meetings with the airport's responsibility, the airport board's responsibility, staff's responsibility, and so forth, kind of lined out. And the first time something comes up, we violate the staff in a rush, change the minimum standards. It's going directly to the city council. I talked to it on council, and they weren't aware that was happening. So the idea of doing that to me is not correct. And I may be wrong, but it's how we things look at the ordinance in our life. And it's my job as a member of the airport board. I was the chairman of the board, even if I wasn't, I'm in the gallery. So, hey, looks like you're doing something wrong.
I'm talking about a newspaper article. We know that's different than my report of happened, but I had a prior engagement and couldn't make the meeting, so shame on me. But when I read the newspaper article, I thought, why do I waste my time every month? Why do I go to these meetings? The article was directly contrary to what, I think it was a unanimous vote, so it just frustrated me that I felt like I wasted my time. Again, that's newspaper article, and I understand that.
I was quoted in there somewhere.
Thank you, Jess.
She could have called me as well.
My understanding is the time that we've worked over this thing, hashed over it for a couple of years, was that there was flexibility involved, that those figures up there, the avionics 5,000, isn't a hard figure. It's part of a negotiable factor that all of these would be, and we did give that authority to you, Jen, because you're the man that's on the line and responsible, and it's necessary to hold to 15,000 on the maintenance. And they come up and they say, well, we've got 13,700, and then we have to throw everything back in the water, it's wrong. I mean, you need that flexibility, you need the ability to negotiate with this stuff. And that's what my understanding was, we passed all of this, was that they are a guideline subject to adjustment to give us a figure to work with.
Jerry, there's not too many adjustments that can be made with the minimum standards. If you post it as a minimum, then it's the FAA looks at it, that's the minimum required to do that operation.
That's not exactly correct, because we're not doing that now. If you're going to be a flight school, then you've got to be standard to be a flight school. That's so that the flight school is already here. Oh yeah, they are. You can play right into the door, sorry about that. You're getting smaller, you must have lost a little bit. So that the flight school that's already here, somebody can't, if they meet the standards, somebody down the street can't come put one up and just all of a sudden be in the business and operate out of the trunk of their car like a lot of flight instructors do. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of thing we're looking at.
Right.
So, but like right now, they're leasing space, but I don't think they're in aggregate through the current FBO. A leasing space, the avionics shop probably doesn't have the amount of space and ramps and so forth totally dedicated to it. It's in the individual standard for avionics, nor does maintenance toward the other. So we've done what Jerry said. There would certainly be, if somebody's going to come build a larger facility with all what they're talking about doing, I applaud you for that opportunity. I'm not complaining about that. I'm only complaining about what it did there. But the if they came and built the facility, they had plenty lots of room to work on the airplanes to do maintenance, and they had plenty lots of room they could come in the same hangar to do avionics. They could meet the criteria that way, I'm quite sure. If the airport board and the city council looked at it and said, yeah, they've done it. So, yeah, I don't think it's aggregate either, and I agree with that, but they should be reasonable in terms of size. 8 acres isn't enough to run an FBO by the time. Where's the fuel pump? And you need to have those kind of things. I think it needs to be given in total to everything that's there.
Well, this is aggregate. This is everything. 5 acres, 4.5 BO, including the fuel farm. Then that's current standards. And using the avionics as an example is not a good idea because the rent?
Oh, sorry, 40,000.
40,000. That's current.
Yeah. 5 acres, it'd be hard for us to run an FPL of any kind of elk out of a 200. You know, 40,000 feet, 200 or 200, that's not
yeah.
better, right?
Yeah, you get two Gulfstream 5s and a Falcon 2000 out there. And
you can't get them on 200.
No.
An acre is 210 feet by 210 feet.
So revising the standards to say, yeah, you need a ramp that's adequately sized for your proposed operation, I think is more appropriate than saying 40,000 square feet.
But saying 8 acres may not be enough. I think, you know, we need to look and see what it really takes for an FPO and how to be the standard for running a full service FPO. Fuel service, ramp, everything. Because I don't know how much ramp is Landmark.
They have about 24 acres total, hangar, landscape, everything.
How much? We don't have any square feet around.
I figured out, but I just...
Yeah, I understand. I couldn't expect you to have it on top of your head. But it's considerable. I was just looking at it where they are and so forth. They got to have an excess of 5 acres around.
Possibly.
Do you know how much ramp you've got?
I don't know exactly, but I would guess probably between 5 and 6.
And running up the other day in the future with the size of airplanes and where the next is, I would say that it's probably pretty adequate. So if you let somebody get in the fuel pump business and they don't have enough ramp, you know, and somebody else built one, in this case they leased it, but as you go forward, you're going to have more of these discussions. That's why I'm opposed to lowering the standards. We don't want to let anybody get in the FBO business out of the trunk of the car, just like we don't plan.
Standards would prevent that.
Well, the standard, that's exactly why they're there.
And the new standards would prevent that as well.
Well, they don't provide as much services.
But that's not somebody also, operating out of the trunk of their car just because they're not providing the same services.
That was
so,
an example, because in the flight school business, that happens. Mm-hmm. And a lot of mechanics do it too. That's where we're coming from. That's where I'm at. So I understand what you're saying. All those things make sense. When you put it in the real world and start looking at operating business and FBOs that those of us who fly go in and out of, I go from time to time, some of the all others here very frequently. It's different. It's just a situation. I think we need to look. The standards were mentioned as old. Well, they are. Maybe the standards need to be increased rather than reduced. I don't know. But just because the airport down the street does something, that is no reason whatsoever why Cal should react, in my opinion. We need to figure out what we're doing in our airport. We talked about competing with Van Allen and Wilson. They're a nice airport, but they're in the sticks. There's no infrastructure, and you've got to drive half an hour and 200 to get to anywhere we can land there. One day, it's a jewel in it. One day, it'll have a purpose, maybe a maintenance facility or something else. But it's not strategically located for business. And Williston's about the same way. It's kind of off the beaten path. Great airport, great facilities and so forth. They could attract something like when we're talking to Yanks.
I think we're
competing with Leesburg, perhaps. Mm-hmm. And Leesburg doesn't have very infrastructure. They'd like to extend their runways and do some things, but they're crammed into a little bit of space and can't do what they like. They got a 100-foot wide runway. Something like that,
Max Allen. Yeah, and you know, we can look at all the different airports, but and we do when we compare our minimum standards with everyone else and see where we fit in the mold of things. But when it comes right down to it, if you want to just focus on the Ocala Airport, we've had the same basic minimum standards for 25 years. Not one attempt at another FBO or a fueling operation has been made out here. Not that I'm aware of. And the FAA establishes the minimum standards to prevent exclusive rights or exclusive uses of services on an airport. You could almost argue that our existing standards are guaranteeing an exclusive use of an FBO, Landmark in this case. No one's ever made an attempt, not even when the fuel was pumping 1 million gallons. We talked about it. Standards were awfully restrictive. All the other airports aside, It's staff's opinion that our minimum standards are too restrictive. It's creating exclusive use on the airport, and we need to relax them. And if somebody wants to come over here, and they want to put a $10 million facility, or however many dollars it's going to cost, and they want to go head-to-head and compete with an existing service on the airport, I think that's not such a bad thing.
I'm agreeing totally, but for that kind of money, you can do everything on the list very easily. I mean, what defines aircraft learning and training?
But it does us no good to duplicate the services. I would rather an FBO come on the field and expand the services and offer something that's not being offered right now, then duplicate everything that we've already got.
Okay, so what else would we do this? Landmark is no longer required to subsidize or provide or do any of these other things. And the avionics shop might go away, the flight school might go away. There's no reason for them being anymore. They're not required. Anybody, if they're a little harder thing on the list, you don't want to do it. Just
kind of I guess that's a philosophical question. I mean, do we want to subsidize failing business? Or do we want to force a private company to subsidize a failing business, or one that's not sustainable?
I don't know if any failing business is on here.
Or not sustainable. I mean, but in your example, they might go away because they.
Did you just have somebody be able to set up a dysfunctional?
No, no. They would have to lease 8 acres of property. They would need a terminal building to provide all the necessary accoutrements inside the restaurant, pilot lounge, flight planning, everything that you would typically see, and it's noted in the proposed standards. They would need a ramp to adequately serve the customers that they want to serve, whether it's a helicopter FBO or a propeller type FBO or a full service Boeing business jet, A320 business jet FBO. At least a hangar at 10,000 square feet. And then if there are any other services beyond the core services that they want, they need at least 2 acres apiece, 2 acres apiece, and then building and ramp appropriate for what they're recommending, and a hangar at 3,600 square feet.
I think if the inspection here does not, or our minimum's been looked at repeatedly by the FAA, and they have no problem.
No. I haven't sent the minimum standards to the FAA for their approval.
They have been in the past. According to here, the FAA, they've been assured on this program that the FAA, looks at the standards and they're content with reasonable limits, minimum standards, as a reason. I've always been considered reasonable for the FAA.
It's reasonable for an airport sponsor to require an FBO to provide additional services. And that's what we've done in our standards. And the FAA would look at that as being reasonable. But at this time, if they look at it, knowing that nobody's tried another FBO operation, and compared to the other airports, they may have a different opinion on the exclusive right.
I have participated in this discussion more than like I can. Mm-hmm. And any further discussion on the minimum standards? Is like by only recently learned that the principles of the CALJET are clients that I've state that's a stain of conservative conflict and
still entitled to pending as a file of board member.
No, I don't think I should. Yeah. I
appreciate that. But, we agree to disagree, but we need to work those points out. But there is more to the larger picture in terms of what we're trying to accomplish here. We make sure we take it into account. I don't think it's fully into account.
I'm sorry?
I don't think it's fully, the bigger picture is not being taken into account. And that's, I don't think there's anyone who's serious about getting into the business, and they say, like they're very serious about getting into the business. There's nothing that they can accomplish. They can't. I would say, if I was an interviewer, they can't even be thinking about it. I think for ramp, you can't even, first time two or three business show up and put part of the deal on the grass. So they would have to be doing more. And anybody that's coming along with a proposal to build a facility would be running into it. And, if they wanted, I mean, we're within a number of years of when that FPL comes available again, I mean, they could go the same thing. We're in striking distance now when we're going to be starting an RFP from FPL.
I think we're in agreement on one thing, and I'm going to focus on that right now. And that's the ramp. If there's a shining light on anything right now, and that's the ramp example that you used. You know, who's going to put less than an acre of ramp out there and operate an FPL? Even a total of 1.4 or 1.84 acres would be pretty tough as far as ramp space goes. Which, taking into account City Council's goals and objectives in simplifying rules and regulations, we've just revised the ramp as saying adequate for your proposed operation.
Well, there's nothing complicated about the common standards. They're very concise because you're on I don't have a copy currently, I got some impossible, but they're only like 10 pages, or pretty long, and that's a pretty long.
Our existing minimum standards are about 30 pages. But your cell phone's on them.
Okay. But they're not hard to read. They're not complicated. You wrote it down in a chart. There's more verbiage associated with describing exactly what it is. But basically, it's everything in that chart. And then it just goes up and describes it. It describes a full service FPL. It describes multiple single services. So that if I'm in the flexible business, I know exactly what I got to do with the business. If I'm in the maintenance business, I know exactly what I'm doing with it. That's the purpose of writing them all out. And then the full service one is a combination of the all. Right now you're asking us to modify the standard. If somebody in the wing is wanting to do an FBO, we have no idea of the concept of that other than it's been a very loosely drawn one single piece of paper. No written proposal, no anything that states exactly what they're going to do. And they're probably going to look at multiple acres around. We don't have that. So if we allow the airport to warm itself down where that's part of the forest, we reduce the standards to the point where I don't got to have an acre. They have all those other stuff, and I'm willing to do that. I can put up an acre, and I can circumvent the process so I can bump people. That's what you're doing. I get one airplane, and I can meet the standards of being a flight school, and I can put up a maintenance shop, and I can get enough square footage, and I can do that. Then I can pump fuel. I mean, you guys say he works on one airplane a week, or he works on 50. We don't specify that. We just have to work on airplanes. So I can essentially, in fact, get into a pretty cheap fuel pumping. I think it's reasonable for us to have a total proposal from anybody who's coming in. And we have had proposals people coming in before. And they were mostly where they wanted to kind of set up a double wide, pump gas, didn't want to do anything else. That obviously wouldn't meet anybody's criteria in the area. One guy was at the helicopter thing down there. He couldn't understand why we couldn't go the road down there where he was just pumping
sure.
the gas. We got to say,
but that's not a minimum standard deal. That's a through the fence operation. And I brought this issue before the board many times that the standards needed to be changed before Ocala Jet Center was even in the mix.
That's true.
And I've been a proponent of changing the standards and simplifying it and relaxing the standards to what we're looking at today. There just happens to be somebody knocking on the door right now.
Well, I know what the standards are. Right now, I may be unsuccessful. I'm going to try everything I can to do it, and I'll put all the other I can put behind it. See if the standards are not modified under the current circumstances. That's what the airport board has spoken. I mean, we'll look at it again. We'll look at this. We asked before we went through this. Are we interested? We were not interested then in changing the standards. For a variety of reasons. They've been in place for a long time. They've never caused us any problems. They've been blessed by the FAA. They work. And we feel like we maintain an adequate level plane. You may not, but the board does. These are all, for the most part, very new member. We've got some that have been here probably far too long like me. We've got others around who have been here different times. So we have a variety of looks and feels. And on the question of doing that, last time we discussed it, I don't remember the discussion exactly, but it came down that we didn't see any rationale for changing. They weren't that onerous. They seemed reasonable. And we looked at there's no reason to push to do that. I mean, that's where we're coming. And without the benefit of having a full proposal from the FBO, who wants to come in here, and they had one at the RFP meeting, to kind of look and say, okay, we're gonna build a building that's gonna be 35,000 square feet, it's gonna come out of town, we're gonna have 5 acres of hangars and, I mean, ramps, and we're gonna have all of this, and that's phase one. We're gonna get the business, we're gonna pump fuel, and we're gonna build it. Okay, but we don't want to do flight school and the other stuff, to get off of that, but here's what we're gonna build. We don't want to license the top until that's up and going. Maybe that's not handy. Just to bring a one-color, loosely done drawing of the Taj Mahal, and it was a nice little hangar, and it could be, is not sufficient to have us be moving and change something that's tried and true. That's how it is. I'm going to all speak to you. I understand that you find reluctance and reason for doing that from a legal perspective and then return. The others have spoken up and said, oh, that's right. That's how I see it. I don't know. Can anybody else?
Well,
I want to say something. I agree with Terry 100%. We spent a lot of time on that minimum standard. It's just ridiculous to throw that out at once.
There was no minimum standard arrived at in the newspaper setting. You said, I've been on the airport board for over 35 years. We've had minimum standards, and Randy's dad was, you think he's hard with it, but you should have known harder. We had minimum standards when I first came here. They've been modified and worked on, and the best of my knowledge, my understanding of the process was, that was having to go to the FAA for approval. Back then, we were told they went anyway, we sent them to the airport. And, whatever it was back then.
Right.
And they busted. So I don't really see any reason in terms of the that I have, in terms of people coming and going, that's happening here, that there's any rush to. So I think we need to vote. I'm not for 1 minute in favor of Landmark. I happen to like the concept of a multi-operational FBO because I came from the town Bill's been here for a few times. I think you were here before Hartford, weren't you?
I've been here for over 30 years.
You were here before Piedmont Hartford.
Long.
And you remember, long. We had FBOs, and finally at the end of the single FBO, the last guy that bought it was 3-4 years ago. The only reason he bought it was to not put a dime in it and milk as much gas pump as he could. Remember, adding services, whatever it took just to keep from the city from shutting it down, and he drained off the airship. And we came from that, and that's how we got to the point of looking for a multi, not a multi service, but a chain, FBO chain. And out of the FBO and the RFP, we ended up choosing County Piedmont Corcoran. They were an excellent group that came here and looked at them, and two others on the second tier that's very visited them, made that choice. And right out of the, on the out of the gate, the service here went from abysmal to where everybody did. And I see that, and with that said, there's some FBOs in the state. What's the really good one down in Fort Lauderdale that's actually in Bowser County?
Big Canyon. Bannon?
Yeah, Bannon. I'm trying to say Bowser. But Bannon, I mean, that's a nice an FBO, and I mean, they win all the awards, and what they're proposing could be better than that. I can't pre-guess, but that's what I'm trying to present. I don't want another situation like we had when the market was coming on what we got now. It's not very creative when they leave, and that happened. So if somebody comes along and they've got a vision for the community and want to do something, Savola's been here for years, and they're great corporate and local citizens, I don't have any cause. I just want to make sure that it's well-founded and well-financed, and they're going to do that. That's part of the presentation. But I don't want to run out and change the standards in the meantime to accomplish anything until those two come in again.
I kind of feel like we're, and maybe it's a bit addressed, but I feel like we're changing the rules with Landmark in the middle of the game. If they've done all this, and there's arguments whether they lived up to their agreement or not, that's for another day. But, and then here we are saying, no, we're going to change on you. What, they got 6 years left or so? So that would be addressed.
There is an argument against that. They inherited all the facilities and all the land. That's a good, no question, that's a good. Moved another ramp, I moved up the other ramp to the south end. Done there, but the puzzle was blocked. It is possible to do an APO in the underground, and a lot of things can be done, but I think this board, at least myself, and it's going to be speaking to the majority of the time, is looking for a pretty good understanding of what Hotel Jet really wants to offer.
Well, let me try and summarize everybody's position, not individually the board.
Yeah. Seems like
the board turned down staff's recommendation. City manager wanted to put it, or the city manager's office wanted to place it in front of the council and let them see it. Council's directed staff to bring back an amended standards. It's back to you guys now, again, in front of you. And what I'm hearing right now is you're fine where it is right now, and we don't need to change it.
That's correct, and yeah, I don't know. We can vote on it again and see what we get, but yeah, I don't think in light of all that was done at that strategic planning session, and the conversations I had with at least one councilman, that's not the whole one, it's only four now, and when the new five courses is all done, that they understand what the minimum standards are and exactly how they fit the scheme. It's just one other, I mean, they've got the golf course, and they've got the airport, and they've got the public works, and the, I mean, there's a myriad of things, some of the utilities. It's a huge thing that cities involved. That's the reason for having an airport. So there's some people here that have knowledge of this, just like there is people that have knowledge of the golf course, or any of the other boards here. I don't know if those are like that. Planning and zoning, they have a group of lay people who are involved between the city staff and the public who want to rezone and do things like that, or adjustments in zoning and so forth for use of property, and that's why it's in place. So the staff can't totally buy something up and the people on the outside are treated fairly and so forth. This board is different than that. But we provide that level of whatever. And as long as if the city council fully understood the whole purpose of everything associated with the airport, they would have been with it. So they asked us to be here to interpret for them. And the interpretation that I had, what I looked at, was not a real good idea for doing what we're talking about doing. And the city staff, with all due respect, we're here to work with the city staff to do that. But when issues like this come up, we're supposed to blow up. I think it's our job to blow up and say, no. We don't like that. You know, somebody doesn't understand. And that's what the process is working well, and I think that's what we're here about. It's healthy. We all like one another. We turn the lights off and go home and go here together. It's not personal. It's our job, and I happen to take it seriously. I think we all do, of course. But that's just where I'm coming from. If you want a reiteration, I guess somebody can bring up another motion, and we could vote on it again. But yeah, I think if everybody is on board and everybody understands the process, and the council votes on the process, they totally understand they do something different, then that's fine. But I'm convinced so that they don't understand the process. I mean, understand for how it fits in the scheme. You know, we talk about it daily, and we know about it, and I've learned about standards since I've been here, but I haven't seen the council and I think a lot of them are important. Of course, I don't even know how much about an airport. And I was doing anything that's fine, otherwise, I guess we're feeling everything in the next time.
I make a motion that we do not stay, we do not change the minimum standards. It's not anything.
Okay, there's a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second. I'll note that we're leaving different than what we did last month. So we're reiterating, but
that's right. We're
I guess there's no harm in doing it. Right. Somebody at the city council would get somebody from the city staff every day to get a memo. Mm-hmm. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Stay.
We have one extension before.
Well, the picture is such that the violation of section 6 of the manual is that all of this can be overridden by the council. In the long dissertations and the long discussions, if they come up and they say, we like this idea, the idea is going to go through. We have been able to provide a service to them. I'm one that goes more for flexibility. I don't know what we're voting on because I don't know. I must have missed the last meeting, which you laid out the parameters that are other than within our requirements. What's missing with the new proposal?
Let me ask a question. I mean, you voted for that, but are you still like the idea of modifying the standards, or want more study done? What are you asking?
I think those things are just that. The whole philosophy of the FAA has always been flexibility. Nothing is standard, even when they give you an altitude. How much part can you vary and still be legal?
Not very much.
Not very much, but you can. 50 feet or 100 feet, they allow you that. And it's the same thing with the whole procedure service. If you're upgrading something that's above the standard, you can use it on the airplane in an STC, not downgrade, upgrade. So that there's a continued understanding and need for change. And I'm just saying, if we've got a situation that we're getting close, we need to be able to change it, and that this is not an iron wall that we have to live with, because that's difficult and it doesn't serve any purpose at all.
It's not an iron wall until a competing business files a complaint. And then it becomes an iron. Then it becomes an iron wall. And scenario: Ocala Jet comes in, and we let them do 2 out of 4 services. Landmark would file a complaint that they're in violation of our minimum standards, and the airport would lose. It becomes an iron wall, and somebody complains. That's basically how it comes down to.
A lot of years, nobody's complaining, but it could, and that's entirely possible. I don't really know that having another meeting to modify them until, I would like to, let's see what happens. Let's ask the city manager to do a look or whatever we want to do from a staff perspective in terms of the airport board, twice pretty well generated our point. We seem to have an understanding of the reason.
Can I make a suggestion?
Sure.
Because I'm in a rock and a hard place now. I've got the person that signs my paycheck saying revise the standards, but I've got the airport board saying we don't want to. Perhaps a motion from the board to recommend that we set up a joint council airport board workshop to discuss the minimum standards and how they may be revised. That way, y'all can have a round table with the council, and you can voice your opinion.
No, I wouldn't do that, because that's opening the whole book up. All I want to do is see what specific, how far are you going to move, and how much are you asking for a just off of a standard. Because the standards we've established for good reason. Now, if the proposal comes through, That's the hard numbers that we need to look at. And when we lay that out, then we can say it's a yes or a no.
Well, the difference basically is these are the requirements right now. This is what I was proposing in the documents in front of you. And this is the services required now. And this is what I was proposing. There's legalese in the document that's duplicated in the lease agreements. It's also duplicated in the airport rules and regulations. That's all inclusive. I cleaned that up, pulled those out because it's already in the rules and regulations. There's standard language, the insurance language in the minimum standards changes annually with what our risk department has and what they see in front of them. So the insurance language is very simply stated as if whatever the city requires at that time of application. You know, it's things like that. So you'll see a lot of the minutiae in the standards removed because it's already duplicated in other documents that's already been through the approval process.
So long as it doesn't, if somebody comes along and says, what are your standards supposed to take you to get in the business, and you look at it and they miss something because everything that's taken out of there, it doesn't matter. But if it matters and you took it out because it's somewhere else, then they don't see it, then they're not valid process. Then you get the really dumb about this, where you need to look past the standards to another document. So long as it's just like insurance, it's required, you've got to think about it. So long as some reference is paid, that's fine. I mean, I don't have any problem modifying that.
Okay.
We met over the other, but I think, you know, that to me, and going back to the proposal that was made by Ocala Jet at the RFP for the, this was an RFP done to the airport, for all, classified as all areas of development, airside, landside, commercial property. Almost anything you think of went out and went on our feet. But the only proposals we got was one contractor who was involved in built suit, and two FBI proposals, one from the current one from the jet. So that's kind of what we're back to. Ocala Jet made a very nice proposal at the time. I believe they had color pictures and they had pretty much restored the color. And you were talking about building everything you needed to do at that point in time to the standards that were in place. I don't know that Ocala Jet said, we won't build those standards. If Ocala Jet has come to you and said, we can do this, we can't do it unless you modify the standards, then I don't think that's fine. The standards should be in place and they should bring a proposal in terms of what they're willing to do, and somebody should judge those against the standards. I think it's not fair. But, you know, that's all we can do.
I don't think I would violate the spirit of my abstention by saying that some face time between this board and the city council on this very important issue would be beneficial.
Extremely right. I think we're consensus.
Okay.
That's a good idea.
All right.
And we've got all the trouble to do it. There's probably a time that we know. If there's anything else associated with the airport board, any of that other kind of stuff, together anyway, we probably ought to. Anything there's a question on their part, yeah, solve it at the same time.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying, don't limit it totally to that.
No, we'll...
Then I'll cover everybody together, we're going to get a talk.
I'm sure we can come up with a few other topics to talk about.
Okay, and that's what he's going to put on board. Okay, end of the discussion. For now.
All right.
New business. I'm sorry for the tip marks that are here.
Now the rest will go quick. The rest will go quick. Beautiful Moments Warehouse Lease. Beautiful Moments is a party special occasion rental company. They're based down in Bellevue. They saw a big sign on our warehouse building for lease. They approached us and we've got a tenant for the warehouse. Signed a 5-year lease, the standard lease. The rent, the first year's rent is going to be about $16,500. The full rent for next year will be about $51,000. In order to get Beautiful Moments to occupy the building department and the fire department required the building to be sprinkled. It's about a $53,000 job, $54,000. So essentially our first year's rent is negated by the infrastructure that we have to put in the building. But every time this building's been vacant, we've had to turn people away because they didn't meet the right use because the building wasn't sprinkled. Now we've upgraded the building, or it will be upgraded, and it's definitely an asset. Yes, sir.
What about the end of 3 years from
now? How much is it? It goes up 3% annually.
How long have they been in business now?
20 years? 18 years?
Who are the principals?
I have that information. I can give it to you.
They compete with party time.
They do compete with party time. They employ between 8 and 25 people. It's seasonal, and sometimes they're part-timers up there, too. But they're going to take the whole building. We have to go out to bid on the sprinkler system, and that takes about 6 weeks. Construction will take about 30 days. We're thinking May 1st. So when they occupy it.
Would a sprinkler system be required for any tenant?
No, it's interesting. Manufacturing, it's not required. But for retail commercial, it's required. And
was it an asset, even if they don't do it?
Yeah.
I've got a lot of sprinkler systems in the buildings we built in our factory. And, I remember the first one I put in when I first built the first day, that was pretty tough busy. And sprinklers with paper is helping a couple of years in the insurance side. We have a lot of plastic and paper, and we stack 6 pallets high, and I'd love it. We had all warehouses and sprinkler pumps and stuff. And our fire insurance premium was nothing. So I think from the tenant standpoint, when they're coming in there, their insurance bill without sprinkler is a whole lot less for the sprinkler. So it becomes a selling point for the
building. Good point.
Plus the fire department plans.
Right. Any motion?
I don't. Airport construction update. Our security project's about 99% complete.
Keep that.
Initially. There's a few things that we've noticed with it. The keypad's not backlit. It's very difficult to see the numbers at night. Yeah.
Seems to be better.
Yeah, we're going to work on that. We've had a couple tenants that have had some real problems with the system. We're working with them very closely. Where's Wayne? Wayne left? The camera system works great. I would hope that we have a couple more weeks left of work, and there'll be some training involved.
It gives us the individual or card, somebody's got a card. But it knows my card getting through the gate, it's seen back out of the gate.
Yes.
At a time certain. Does it take pictures of me also?
No. No, I mean, there are cameras set up, but there's not a camera at every gate. And they're fully controllable. We can control. There's one on the control tower. Gives a good view of the airfield and the ramp areas. Gives a...
General security.
Yeah, it does. You know, and
what equipment is actually the call? Operating crash area?
It's there's one issue that was kind of embarrassing. The server for the whole system would go to sleep. Like, you would set your computer up to go to sleep at night. That was never turned off, so when the script was initially flipped and it was online, the computer would go to sleep at night, and basically it wouldn't allow anyone to come through the gate. So we had one issue until we figured that out. The computer dropped a couple other program cards, but that issue's been fixed. A couple of the tenants didn't realize they had to press pound after their PIN number in order for it to work. If you wave the card and your card is very close to the keypad while you're entering in the PIN number, it'll read it again and it'll confuse the system. So you need to wave your card and move it away and then enter the keypad. Excuse me.
Sorry.
Okay.
I mean, I was going to, makes me uncomfortable with a lot of people that may not care about some of this business, but may have business before the board. I mean, yeah. Taking things out of order.
That's at the board's discretion.
Yeah. People that don't care about the bugs we're having in the streets.
Are there persons here we can ask Christian to appear that we can move along more quickly?
Craig Chandler from FAA is here to give an update on radar and all the other goodies that we'd like to see in our control tower. So without further ado.
It's been interesting listening to the discussion, especially the part about the press. I've been misquoted a few times myself. That y'all have some issues, and it's been in front of the board about some of the equipment that's furnished to the federal contract out here.
I went back and listened to your minutes. As a matter of fact, you have a lot about the last 9 months, so I can catch up on where you are at the airport. Reference to equipment I want to talk about today is the radar display in the tower. The FBIO equipment, which I don't think y'all talked about before, but it is put in for the filtering with the flight data and put out, but it sends flight plans electronically to the tower here, so they have to do it through manual coordination. And then the AWOS equipment, which you can dial in and use the AWOS equipment. I can put the AWOS equipment through, I think yesterday it went online, we could dial it. What's the number?
What's the number?
It should be the number that it was before.
It is the number that is published in the AFQ.
So we've taken care of that. So that should be a powerful presentation.
I believe from our perspective, in talking to the tower chief and looking at what we had, knowing what Gainesville has in the radar tower, that we know is halfway between Gainesville, the question arose after we were here that when you fly in here, those of us that are local, but you kind of get lost in the airport control area because they have to visually sight you first, and it's like, you know, there's radar, it can't be as expensive as it used to be. What do we have to do so the tower indeed really becomes a better safety factor for the community and for the airport? That's where we were going.
Okay, and I understand.
We don't know anything about how it works. We just think that would be a nice thing to have, particularly given all the money we spent on the tower, to be able to have the tower have all the resources that were reasonably available.
I'll go ahead and go to the next slide. Before this tower was ever built, we put in resources. As somebody else said earlier, you know, the way the government works, you can't expect things to move very fast, and the FAA is no different.
I said that while I was on the phone.
Have the FBIO equipment, you need to have or exceed 12,000 instrument operations annually. And to get a tower radar display, you have to have or exceed 30,000 itinerants annually. During calendar year 2011, you did qualify for the radar display. You had 48,559 itinerant operations. You do not qualify for the FBIO, which is only 9,448. So right now, the FAA is not looking at putting an FBIO over here. Now that you meet the qualifications for the radar display in the needs assessment program, which FAA loves acronyms, the NAP is where it's been in there, we placed it in there, then it goes through a validation process. So that's being done up in the service area in Atlanta through the planning requirements group. What they do is we'll check your traffic count, verify the traffic count, and maybe get on contact with work to make sure that it's being done correctly and accurately. Then once that gets done to Atlanta, it's sent to Washington to the Terminal Infrastructure Board for new requirement approval. Okay. Now, if the TIP approves it, which they approve these, once you meet the requirements, they're always approved, then you get added to the list of other facilities that are in the same situation as Ocala that don't have radar displays. Because the federal contract tower program over the last 5 or 6 years, they've really built a lot of federal contract towers. And this district alone, we have built three. And that's not counting Leesburg, which is fairly new also. My district, I'm the district manager here for North Florida and Central Florida, responsible for all of the facilities from Tallahassee over to Jacksonville down to Fort Pierce, Vero Beach, Orlando, Daytona, and all the federal contract towers in between there. So I've got quite a few in here. In the North Florida district, we have three federal contract towers that do not have radar displays. And I'm going to point those out to you here, a list of where you stand there with the traffic count on those. The others that happen, you mentioned Gainesville used to be an FAA facility, and they contracted that out. And the way the contract reads for FAA facilities, it already had a radar display there when it was contracted out.
There was a more complicated issue back then, because I remember they came to us, City of Gainesville, they were in Gainesville, whatever, and they kind of needed a joint thing that the Congress was involved in. All of that, because getting that was evidently far more expensive than it is now, and it was much lengthier process. So we helped Gainesville get theirs.
Back then, they threw in what they called a D-Bright, and the FAA didn't have a contract, so for the D-Bright system, so they had to wait until somebody didn't need there, or found spare. I mean, it was pretty complicated, but you're right. I'm glad you remember that. And they are a little bit easier to get now. But the average cost now for power supplies is around $75,000. So it's a little bit less expensive, but still.
What the government does running around us?
Oh, yeah. We're under, I think they just approved another continuing resolution for us until the middle of February. We don't have a long-term budget, haven't had one in 3 or 4 years in the FAA, so I'm not committing to that. Anyway, if funding is approved, Ocala would be added to a list of 25 federal contract towers that are awaiting equipment implementation. So once you get on the list, then it becomes a matter of priority. And this tower operations ranking report, this is just showing the things that we count. This is the first page of it. Go ahead and go to the second page. Okay. If you look down at the bottom, Ocala really has the least amount of traffic of these facilities. The other facilities in my district that do not have radar displays is Flagler County, which is XFL, and you see they run 163,000 operations a year versus your 48,000. And then the other one is Leesburg, which is just barely moving a little bit more. Leesburg is really not eligible for a radar display. They don't have the radar coverage from any existing radar as well benefit them in. So even though they're on this list, you're not going to be behind them on trying to get a radar display for you. But those are the issues referenced in the FAA, requirements, the process that you have to follow, and when the funding becomes available, it's prioritized on need.
Can I say the same, it looks bleak? It looks bleak.
Yeah. It's like anything else in the federal government, depends on funding. If we get decent funding, then what they do is all of a sudden, when I've got these phone calls, we have funding for these projects that we need to move now. And I would be guessing if I said, and this would ever happen. You've got a great little airport here, you've got a brand new control tower, you've got better service now, things than you've ever had before getting in here. Like I said, any of the requests that you make that we can make happen, we're trying to make happen. I hope I'm showing you that with the ABLOS on that issue. Mm-hmm. We became aware of the project.
Now, we were 12th on the list. Now, does that mean that when the others start getting, we move up the list? Or can some people get on the list ahead of us that aren't in the list?
Yeah, some people could get on the list in front of it. Because they're trying to think if they're building. They're still building a few more federal contract out of the north of South Florida. We don't have any plan right now, any further north Florida. But if you look through the country where most of the FCTs are, they're the fair weather states. So, as a matter of fact, if you look at those, most of those are in the south or southwest, in those kind of areas where we've got traffic all the time. So, but that's basically the way the process is and where you are at. You're up there. You haven't gone to Washington yet, but we're in the process of sending you requests up there. We're on the list. That's where we go.
The 375 is five times what I heard it kicked around. It was $75,000 for it. How to get to 375? Were we just misinformed?
Could I buy it from the government?
I mean, what's 375?
We got that figure from planning and requirements people in Atlanta. That's who we go through to get the equipment. And what it all depends on is, do they have any of these displays available? If we don't have any displays available, then you have to enter into a contract with Raytheon, who manufactures these, to set the line up, manufacture the displays. It's not just displays, you have to add T1 like these cost labels so that you can get that. But it's more than just like a monitor up there. And then you have to pay for the connections that it's going to be coming through Jack's approach control. Oh, by the way, I'm sorry. I'd like to introduce Debbie Johannes. She is the manager at Jacksonville Tower and Approach Control. Her facility provides you all the service.
You have a celebrity here.
Yeah. Are you the one that gives us the clearance to go through whether it's busy or not?
Yes, sir.
I thought you'd sign out of here.
Yeah, would let me do that once in a while.
You're going to come out of here. I also want to introduce Brian Pittman. He's a support specialist at Central Florida Trade On, which is where most of the district works, and he's done a lot of work on putting this together and finding this information.
We had superior service in my estimation than in Blount out of here from around 1970, from Jacksonville. We always kind of invited that fully. We feel very well taken care of by Jacksonville.
Thank you, Mark. We appreciate that. Thank you.
Absolutely. And I understand reminding me of that. You know,
as you're firing on the country, you can tell when a group really works together and seems to care like any other organization. And it shows in how they handle crabs and how they do some other things. They're crabby and they don't want to do anything for you. And you just don't get, they don't cut people warm and fuzzy.
Good. I'm glad you.
Jacksonville is warm and fuzzy.
Well, you're in Jacksonville, right?
Yes, sir.
Who do we get to when we fly over to the East Coast? Because you don't answer to find out whether it's hot or not on the things, and I have to, what's about this one? Turn our distributors?
29.3? 29.5.
But any of those that we use going from here over
straight. He flies out of the air with the Leeward Air Ranch, so when you get off and get to any kind of altitude at all, you almost kind of hit
there. Right. If you have to be up to the altitude, we don't have very good radar coverage down there on the ground. If you have any questions whether or not that airspace is hot or cold, you can always give us a call on the phone, and they'll be quick to tell you where it is on the watch desk phone.
What's that number?
904-741-0767.
And that's called what, Jackson?
That's the Jack Straycon watch desk number. Mm-hmm. That's manned 24 hours a day by a frontline manager and or an ops manager. And they will, if you have a question, you fly now, whichever the airport is, you just want to know if it's hot or cold, but folks there will give you that answer.
Yeah. Let's get nice because when cell phones in the morning before you take off, it's so hard.
Yeah. And you know, find your way to that little airport over there,
right along 40.
They're getting ready to start. They've got the phones down there now over the figure here. I don't know if you hear that. Or I ask her how to stay right 40 for them. And it's up in Washington. It's a good public problem. Well, you got the worst things coming through. Not that that's part of your problem, but I was going to bring it up with the group that they've got a new tax on their tank. User fee program, and it's the camel in the camel program where Obama is said, well, it doesn't affect general aviation. We start with twins. Well, since when does the general aviation have twins? And it's the philosophy. And I mean, it's a scary one if it's the one that they're telling us about that we have to talk to. And I don't know how they expect to. People to try to cover it and handle it. But somehow they're going to have to write the number down and send us a bill once we take off. But when you call that number, Jack, you're going to have to repay for it.
And they'll box the money to pay for our
bill.
Yeah, I believe that's it.
If you put it into a trust fund.
It will never be touched.
Never be touched.
We're not. We're coming to go and you're here to help us, man.
Well, really, we are. You are. And that's why I asked Debbie to come here and Brian, if you had any questions or anything, we're supposed to thank you if you file it beside the cell to be here to get you any questions. Multiple files here. And so I appreciate knowing that helps where it is.
You know, one thing of interest on the location of the radar. Some people might wonder how that got to where it was and how it was there. It's precisely between the center of the Oakdale Airport and first precisely to get the Gainesville. It wasn't originally intended to be that way because there's going to be a Gainesville and they were going to have it on the edge of the airport going around the mountain so they could see it. But at the time, that was when Bill Chappell was the congressman. Bill Chappell was probably, he headed the Senate Armed Forces Committee, and he was as strong as there was in Washington. once he got, he was hot. Once he got wind of what they were doing, he said, you can have any way you want it, but he needs to be able to do it. It's all about the work concerned about the airport, which made sense. And he was the one that cut through the bureaucracy real quick and said, yeah, we'll build it, we'll rebuild it, and then we're going to build it where it's sort of easy.
That's the first thing we did when I became aware of the issue, we checked to see if we had radar coverage.
Yeah. I don't know how close it comes down, but it comes down very, very close.
We have very good radar coverage. We have very good radar coverage, Gainesville stuff.
How far are we?
About 600 feet, maybe a little lower, depending on what type of...
600 feet?
About.
Uh-oh.
I heard it better than that.
Yeah, but you turn the scope way down about GA, don't you?
I can't answer those questions.
But anyway, any other questions?
No, we really appreciate y'all coming down today.
Thank you. We have copies of that for that presentation for the article.
It's on his laptop, yes.
Did we copy it all?
Well, put it on your desktop, so.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I can make copies of it and get it out. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just give me a minute. The last slide was the weather ASA or AWACS issue, and I skipped past it because we settled that before it even got started.
Who has the number on that?
I'm
just asking whether somebody knows it. I don't know. It was calendar was.
Yeah.
All right.
I'll give it to you.
All right. Thank you all very much.
I try to get around to meet all the airport directors as quickly as we can.
You know, I'm involved in the air traffic services part of this, and I've heard you talk a lot about ADO and PISDO, and I try to stay out of what they do, because even I know all those guys, they get upset with me.
There is just one other thing that I would like to ask, is that we are working on putting together a child safety seminar. We did one up in Jacksonville just before Christmas, and we've been asked to take it on the road, so we are planning to do something on this side of the state, if you will, whether we do, we haven't found a location yet. We're going to be doing it sometime in the late April, early May timeframe, and it's similar to a project Rain Check, but basically a safety flight for pilots, and we will give them their wings credits because we are working with PISDO. So if there's any information you'd like to have, or anybody specific you'd like to try to work with, or whatever, we'd be happy to work with you. And we'll be having some controllers and others come down there to put that together.
Now, from the Chamber,
come down and talk to club groups?
Yes.
Who do I contact? Because we both have, you know, both the EAA, we've got 50 or 70 members that come, and we have a Florida Aero Club, and we're both anxious to have an opportunity, because these are all pilot owners, and it's in a little more casual setting.
You can contact me if you'd like to, and we'll have somebody come down. My phone number is area code 904-741-0700.
How do you spell your last name?
J-O-H-A-N-N-E-S. If there's a specific topic you would like your to be, you know, discussed at the meeting, or just general Jacksonville flying in and out of your calendar, or just that type of
thing. I'll give you a call to see if it's set up. That's great. Whether it be you or somebody else, because it's another opportunity for togetherness, so that we nobody wants to have a problem.
We just did one over at the Citrus Crystal River. I mean, mine thing. And we did one up in Gainesville before the holidays. So happy to do that. Very good. Put on fire for a lot. And
spell your last name again.
J-O-H-A-N-N-E-S.
What's your first name again?
Debbie.
Debbie. Can you do that again?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Terry.
If you're looking for a location to have another meeting in the Chamber of Commerce, in fact, the hotel is very central to the location. We'd be happy to help you find it.
Thank you.
If there's nothing else, we will all have got a long time back.
Thanks, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you. No, it's been great.
Back to the construction update.
Thank you, Mr. Fine, for reminding us that we need to make that happen.
Anybody else? Are there anybody? I mean, is there other people that want to appear that need to get out of here?
Nope. We should have. Southwest 67th Avenue. Very close to opening it up. We're waiting on the entrance signage, striping, and landscaping, which I understand will happen within the next 90 days. We're coordinating with City Hall on doing an official ribbon cutting opening of the road. We'll send the official invitations out as soon as we know the date. I'll let you know when that is. We're doing a very quick airfield marking upgrade right now, and we'll see a lot of the taxiway pavement markings redone.
The lighting's all complete.
Lighting's all done. Actually, we're in the process of closing it out. Year-to-date fuel numbers: 568,000 gallons total. It's down 12% from the previous year. December was a negative 17% compared to December of 2010. Fuel prices, just a snapshot. Ocala landmark is right here. Jet A, self-serve ab gas. Yeah, self-serve ab gas, Ocala 522. And regular ab gas is 662. And then, of course, we do the Shell branded FBOs. Ocala Jet A, 656. Ab gas, 522. And then, or self-serve ab gas 522, and then regular ab gas is 662. That's where that ends up. Operations, we close the year at 52,716.
It's interesting to see where we're all in some of the airports. 100,000, it says mythical, and then 190,000.
Yeah.
Mythical number we have to be at. There's a lot of airports that aren't a mythical number.
There are. Flagler is one of the busiest contract towers in the inventory. The contract tower.
Flight
school, its location. Yeah.
It's in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. The old manager at Dunellen is managing that. He's been there for a few years, and Roy Seeger. So, and that's it.
Okay. I've covered the unfinished business, airport director's report, we've covered all that.
Yep.
Persons wishing to appear, persons wishing to appear not on the agenda. Does anyone else have anything they want to get at? Any comments by board member?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Two things. Number one, we are having Young Eagles play on Saturday, the 18th, thank you, one of our pilots. And, for any of you that have ever had an opportunity, it's kind of interesting to bring kids out, give them an hour's presentation on what makes an airplane fly and how it flies. since we take it around the patch, and again, we've got a lot of cooperation from the whole team here, including the security, because we're going to operate out of this building with the group, and we do have kids, so that we have to escort them out to the airplanes. We'll take them around the patch, come back, and I would take this opportunity to send to Landmark and to Christine. Thank you very much for the very generous. She's offered 200 gallons of fuel.
I'll take it all.
That's a cherry.
You got to take it.
Yeah, I do. It was like, it was well meant, and you will get a nice letter. Much appreciation and thanks for the the other thing I'd like to talk about, and I've been with this group long enough, how we agonized over having airlines come in here. And of course, most of you had a chance to see this particular article that came through, which very specifically says airlines are cutting out the small deficit, cutting out the small towns, because they're just not efficient enough, too expensive to operate. So I don't know what that's going to mean.
Well, it has to do mostly with the 50-seaters, and they're operating the 70 and 80 and 100-seaters, so you have big up markets, you're just...
Yeah.
And it's kind of in between.
Well...
Fewer flights to more people, what it has to do for traffic dangers.
We're even further away from that.
Well, the airline business, I mean, we chased airlines for a long time. But what do you feel, Chairman? I have no other comments.
About from our vendors, you know, Bert, the counter.
No, but I have nothing to say.
Thank you, Bert. Thank you, sir.
We just laughed at all those guys from the government.
If you are ever having a private party at your house, I want to have somebody help you with the Chinese auction first.
Yeah.
Oh, he does an outstanding job. It doesn't sound like that radar is coming anytime soon.
I have nothing to say. Copy on. Okay, anyone else? Not having? Seeing none, we'll offer a motion to adjourn.
Someone is.
Okay, all in favor? I apologize for taking more time today.
You went off so long, I've got hungry. Had to go back for
I got the soccer ball, so we had to. I got 40 little ones, like, no matter what.
Don't forget.
Soccer!
For soccer, and I got